But as I have sensed all week with him and with you, that there is a kindred spirit among us this week. It is with a broken heart tonight that I deliver unto you the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 16, and if you find your way down to verse number 14, after the death, after the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Do you believe tonight in the matter of men's souls? Or our hearts cold and hard as the disciples were? But the word of God goes on. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Have you ever thought of what that means tonight? I mean no disrespect. I hope you understand me tonight. But I'm reading the Word of God. And this is what the Bible says. And I realize today that men use biblical words in cussing manner, but tonight we see it in a biblical perspective. He that believeth and is baptized, I'm not going to get into it. You believe, you get baptized, you're saved. Baptism won't save you, but you know that. But I am vitally concerned about what he said after that. For he that believeth not is damned. Have you ever thought what that meant, what that means tonight? To be under the condemnation of God? Do you realize tonight the depth of that word of damnation tonight? It doesn't mean you're sick, because if you're sick, you can be healed. It doesn't mean you're dead, because if you're dead, you can be resurrected. It doesn't mean you're lost, because if you're lost, you can be found. But he that believeth not is damned. There is no hope. We're dealing with eternity tonight. We're dealing at a point of no return of the people in India, as our brother has just burdened his heart tonight to us. Do we have a heart of unbelief as we saw in verse number 14 and a cold heart tonight? But will we let the Spirit of God melt us? Would you let the Spirit of God warm you? Folks, I don't care what pet peeves you have in your life, what you have in your church, what you have in your home, but all of that pales in the realization that souls are dying. Was it for a second? For every second. You know how long I've been preaching? Just a little bit. And souls have passed into eternity. 4 seconds. Right there. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Folks, tonight, I want to take you on a journey. In our mind's eye tonight, I want to leave Loomis Park Baptist Church. I like to leave the city limits of Jackson, the state limits of Michigan, indeed, to leave the continent of North America and to, for the next 30 minutes, take a journey into hell. I like us to realize the fate of those that know not Jesus tonight. There's nothing that burdens my heart more than a soul lost for eternity. And I would venture to say more people have been saved by the preaching of hell and the judgment of God than anything else, because it is so real tonight. What is hell like? Can we journey there tonight in our mind and maybe see what lies ahead for those for whom these flags represent tonight? We find in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, he says to them in verse number 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What does it mean to be under the damnation of God and to enter into that place which we call hell? First of all, it means you are utterly and completely cut off from God. None of God's love, none of God's mercy, none of God's grace will extend into that home of the doomed. Cut off. Can you imagine God saying, depart from me? Oh, how different it is today as Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there will come a time when God will say, depart. Get away from me. You say, well, God would never. You don't believe what Jesus said? He will say to them, leave me. Cut off from God. The sinner is not cut off from God yet. He's still merciful. He's still extending His grace. He's still pleading His mercy. He's still offering eternal life. And thank God for preachers. And thank God for missionaries. And thank God for church members like you that care enough to bring the gospel while there's still hope and time for them. But a time will come when God will say no more. There will come a time when God would say, depart from me. Indeed, adds the word, ye cursed. Wow. Do we really mean what it means? The wicked shall be cast into hell. He that believeth not shall be damned. Utterly cut off from God. No pleading of the Holy Spirit in hell. No gospel invitation to be saved in hell. No hymns of invitation sung and pleading to preachers in hell. For they are utterly, completely, forever cut off. As we go through our journey through this place of the doomed, we find that hell is a place of unsatisfied desires. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16, we have a true account of a man who lived and a man who died. You know the account. I'll not take time to rehearse it for you tonight. The two men. An actual account, not a parable. Parables never mention names. And when it's a parable, it says it's a parable. But here we have an eyewitness account from Jesus himself of two men. You know, the beggar, Lazarus. Not much in this life. And then we have the rich man who had everything to live on, but nothing to live for. And although he had earthly possessions and fine houses and garments, he never found time for God in his life. They both died. And the Bible says in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is. Christian, thank God that when you die, you never die alone. That when you die, you have the presence of God here. The man died, and he said he had a personal escort right to paradise. That's why David could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And Christian, when you die in the arms of Jesus Christ. Oh, but there's another side. Oh, there's another side tonight, because the Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. No angels for him. No concern for him. And that's how the devil will treat you. The devil will use you, abuse you, shame you, and then drop you. I could never understand why folks would turn down Jesus for the devil. But I want you to notice on the other side. When Lazarus died, he opened up his eyes in Abraham's bosom of paradise. The rich man died and was buried. And the next thing it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments tonight. Hell, where he begged for a single drop of water. He said, oh, I am tormented in this flame. If I could just have a single drop of water. But it couldn't happen. He was cut off from God. It was too late. Unsatisfied desires. The drunkard will crave the alcohol without fulfillment. The drug addict would crave the high and never find it. The lustful and perverted person will burn in their lust without fulfillment. The worldly would desire to have, but not obtain. Those of anger and bitterness will never find peace or satisfaction. A place of unsatisfied desires. A place of wanting, 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 begging, wanting, and never receiving. Thirst. Begging for a single drop of water. And this place called hell. We journey along tonight and we find that hell is also a place of worms. In Mark chapter number 9, if you'll turn there. Mark 9, verse 44. Jesus is speaking. He had already given instruction that no matter what it takes, you better make sure you get to heaven. Even if it means cutting off one leg or one foot, you know, plucking out one eye, it's better to go through life that way and then into heaven than to have 2 feet to go into hell or 2 eyes to go to hell. And then he gives this teaching where the worm dieth not. Where the worm dieth not. Verse 46. Where the worm dieth not. Verse 48. Where the worm dieth not. Kind of like Acts chapter 12. When Herod gave his great oratory speech and people said, it's not the voice of a man. It's the voice of God. And God does not share his glory with man. And the Bible says while he was yet living, the worms came and ate him. Worms in hell. That's what Jesus said. I don't understand it all, but I believe it because Jesus tells no lie tonight. A place of worms. Hell, in our journey tonight, is also a place of fire. Literal fire. Mark 9:47 talks about everlasting fire. Fire. Matthew 5:42 says hell fire. James 3:6 says fires of hell. Revelation 20:15 is called a lake of fire and brimstone. Mark 9:45, it says, where the fire is never quenched. And Revelation 21:8, fire and brimstone. All through the scripture, God says this place of the lost, this place of condemnation, this place of judgment is a place of literal fire tonight. I was talking with my brother. He's telling us how years ago his house burned down. Terrible to stand there and watch fire consume all your earthly possessions. But that fire was put out. The possessions can be regained. But in hell, the fire will never go out. In the early days of my ministry, I worked an early morning paper route, delivering papers. I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and deliver papers to homes and stores and vending machines. Then go somewhere, preach revival that night, and drive back for 2 o'clock the next morning and do it all over again. One night I was driving home. It was about 4:30 in the morning. I had finished my paper route. We have a mountain. I live on top of a mountain. And at the top of that mountain, there's a lake. We call it Cedar Lake. And I'm driving up that mountain towards Cedar Lake. Now, you know how it is by bodies of water. Sometimes it gets foggy because of the water and the moisture there. And I'm driving up, and I can see the fog reflecting off my headlights. And all of a sudden, it was orange fog. And I said, orange fog? And it realized it was a fire. Just moments before I arrived there, there was a head-on collision. I stopped. There was a young girl. She couldn't have been more than 18, 19 years of age, pinned behind the wheel of one of the cars. She was cursing and blaspheming God. We tried to open the door to get her out, but because of the impact of the collision, it was jammed shut, and we couldn't. Then I noticed a spark of fire in that automobile along the carpet. She had extremely long black hair. It was over the back seat and hung down. And as I was there that night, I saw that spark of fire come. And it caught her hair. And it was like a wick as it went up to her scalp and melted her face before my eyes. By that time, the sirens were coming and the police were coming and were able to extinguish the fire before the car would explode from the gasoline tank. And I heard her cuss, blaspheme, profanity out of her mouth. As she took her last breath into eternity, I went home shaking. I woke up my wife. I said, honey, I told her about the accident. I told her what I saw. I said, if hell is one fraction of what I saw tonight, we must be about our Father's business. We have to tell people it's real, it's real, and it's forever. I get tired of these liberals saying there's no fire in hell when Jesus said there was. And the Bible teaches us tonight that there is fire in hell. Say, well, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't either, but I preach the Bible. I didn't write it. God wrote it. And I made God a promise in October 1970, when I kneeled down and holy men of God placed their hands on me, and I was kneeling there, and they were ordained me to the gospel ministry, and I made God a promise that I would preach the entire book, like it or not like it, accepted or not accepted. I would be true to the Word of God. I'd much rather preach about Calvary. I'd much rather preach about the mercy and the grace of the Almighty. And keeping my promise, I must preach all the scriptures. And in our journey tonight, We see the place of hell. Does that move you or not? Are we like the disciples, unbelief and hard of heart tonight? Does a debt on your new car upset you more than a soul going to a lost eternity tonight? Does the fact that your garden doesn't grow? Is it a fact that perhaps you broke your favorite teapot upset you more than the fact that every 4 seconds, how many seconds have gone by since I preached? How many souls have passed off into eternity? It was somebody's mother, somebody's brother, somebody's father, somebody's daddy. I mean, it was somebody's cousin, somebody's uncle. It was somebody's aunt. It was somebody's friend. Into this place called fire. Oh, we go on in our journey tonight. Hell is also a place of darkness. In Matthew chapter 8. Seven times, as far as I could tell, maybe there's more, but at least seven times, the Bible talks about the absence of light in hell. Now, some of you are saying, oh, wait a minute, preacher. Okay, let's be rational here. If there's fire, there's light. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I'm going to tell you you're wrong. You could have a fire of blackness and darkness. Have you ever heard we talk about black holes in space? You know, the black. They're not holes at all, really. What they are stars that for some reason have shrunk. Now, we know that gravity is dependent on the mass and the density of the object that it's drawn to. That is why on the moon, you will only weigh a fraction of what you weigh here on Earth because it's less dense. Mercury, you can hardly lift your little finger because it's so dense. The gravitational pull is so heavy. These stars have shrunk. They're actually called radio stars, have shrunk. Tremendous density of mass. So great that as they burn, as our sun burns, gravity is so it pulls the light back in. Light cannot escape. Fire without light already in the universe. But I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 12. But the children of the king should be of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn to the little book of Jude, if you will, please. Jude 13. Raging waves of the sea, forming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The plague of darkness upon Egypt in Exodus chapter 10. God says, I'm going to cause a darkness, a blackness upon the land. And then he gives a phrase, darkness that can be felt. That's dark. So dark, you could feel the darkness upon you. No light in hell. Why? Because Jesus, the light of the world, will not shine his love and mercy as he is today. But darkness, blackness. People talk, I'll go to hell. I'm going to be with all my friends. You won't even see them. The blackness and the darkness of hell tonight. No light that's available to them today. Oh, we travel again through our journey in hell tonight, and we find it is a place of suffering. Revelation chapter 14, you're just one book away from there. Revelation chapter 14, the same, verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, a place of hurt. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I tell you, there's hurt and there's pain and there's suffering in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 9:6. That the suffering was so great that even death could not take it away. How many times we have had a loved one writhing in pain in a hospital bed, and when they passed on to glory, we said, oh, they're out of their suffering, and they are. But what about the lost person? I was an orderly in a hospital going through Bible college a short time, and I was mopping the floor, and all of a sudden the bells went off and sirens went off, and doctors come running into the room, the nurses come. This woman that was on the bed just coded. Her heart went flatlined. They zapped her 2 or 3 times, and finally the doctor said, we lost her. She's gone. The nurse, I was kind of close to her. She took care of her for quite a while. The nurse took the sheet, covered her head. And then she took her hand and she looked over at me. I was just standing in the corner watching all this. She said, well, at least she's out of her suffering now. And I said, ma'am, I don't mean to be disrespectful. And I don't know this woman's heart, and I don't know this woman's life. But if she died without Jesus, she'd be better off suffering in this hospital bed than where she is right now. You see, in hell, death won't even come to relieve people. They would cry for death. In the early part of the Revelation, it says how they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the one that sits on the throne. But there is no hiding from God. And in hell, it's eternal death. You cannot die again. And that death is a consciousness of pain and torment. Death cannot take it away. He that believeth not shall be damned. In Revelation 21, verse 8, we find in our journey tonight through this place of the doomed that hell is also a place of filth. Filth! Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at this list. Fearful. Those that feared their friends and rejected Christ. Those that feared more to confess Christ rejected him because they were more fearful of their friends and what their friends and family would think and say about them. I'm going to tell you something. There is no friend worth going to hell for. Fearful. Unbelieving. I don't believe the Bible. You don't have to believe it, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You're going to have to die by it. And one day you'll wake up in eternity and you will say, God, you are right, that every tongue should confess, that every mouth may be stopped, and the world become guilty before God. And every knee shall bow, as Philippians 2 tells us. You say, well, I don't believe it. You just don't believe it right now. But one day you will. The fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, those that just have all kinds of wicked things going on in their lives. Murderers. Well, preacher, I'm safe there. I didn't murder. The Bible says if you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder. Whoremongers. Well, I've been faithful. The Bible says if man look upon a woman to lust after, he committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, the world says, if you don't, you could think it as long as you don't do it. God says, if you think it, it's just as good as if you did it. Growing up, there was a song, some of you remember it. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. They says, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking. Well, maybe you can't go to jail for it, but you sure enough can go to hell for it. Whoremongers, what a perverse generation we live in today. When marriage vows are taken so lightly. When we accept the term significant other, that's on applications, spouse's name, husband, wife, SO. Significant others. I always put Jesus in there. He is my significant one. Place of filth. Whoremonger, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers. The word sorcerer literally means enchantment with drugs. Witchcraft. And this idea that Wiccans are good witches is nonsense. Sorcerers, the Bible calls them. Those that use drugs, those that sell the drugs, those that grow the drugs. Populate hell tonight. Sorcerers. Idolaters. Anything you put before God becomes an idol. And all liars. Aren't you glad God is offering grace and forgiveness today? Because if nothing else on that list, that last one will get you. Because there anybody in this room that says you've never told a lie? As soon as you say that, you just did. A place of filth. But just said the brother bought a house somewhere around here. I'm sure he was interested. What kind of neighborhood is this? How would you like to look at a house and the real estate person's with you? And I said, what kind of neighborhood is this? Oh, it's a neighborhood. He said, we got a sex offender over there. We got a rapist over there who lives in this house over here. And over there we got a convicted robber. And the two doors down there's a murderer. You don't want to live in a neighborhood like that. But that's how folks will spend in eternity with those kind of folks. Because hell is a place of filth, not refinement, as heaven, clean, pure, the street of gold. There's a Hebrew word for this. It literally means spit. It's where God spits out all the pollutants of the world into the place called hell. Hell, as we move along, is a place of justice, not mercy, and grace. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The day of grace is over at the point of death. People can light as many candles as they want for you. People can have as many prayer services said for you as they can afford. But your eternal doom is sealed and cannot be altered. Hell has no exit doors. You go in, you never come out. There's no mercy in hell. Just justice. I was with a preacher in a revival meeting one time, and he said, preacher, I got to pump some gas. I got to get some. I said, no problem. He pulls up to the pump, and he sees a lady on the other pump. And he goes, brother, would you mind pumping this gas? That's Miss So-and-so. She hasn't been in our church. She hasn't come back to our church in quite a while. She's a member, but we just don't see much of her. I'm going to go invite her to the meetings. I said, no problem, preacher. So I started pumping the gas. She saw him coming. And when she saw him coming, she stiffened up. She goes, he got within 10 feet of her. And she put her hand up and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know all I want when I die is what I deserve. Is that what you want? Do you want that? You want justice? I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want grace. I want forgiveness. I want compassion. I know what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, I'd be burning in the hottest fire of hell at this moment. But God in His mercy and God in His grace delivered me. Why? Because somebody told me about Jesus. Just like somebody's got to tell all these people about Jesus. Well, we must go on to the last place of hell tonight. Back in Luke 16, we find hell is a place of memory. You know, memory can be a wonderful thing, but memory can also be a haunting thing. And I wish there were some things I could forget. I wish there were some things that could just be erased from my mind. They plague me. They bother me. About a year and a half ago, my wife and I were involved in a head-on collision. It was a nighttime, and I remember still seeing those headlights coming at me. I remember hearing my wife call my name, and then the crash. And sometimes I still see that as if it was so real. I wish I could forget that. One day, that'll only be a passing memory, as the affairs of this life will be forever gone. But here is a man in hell. We looked at him. He was in torment, but he remembered. He remembered. Can you imagine being in hell, remembering every gospel service you were in? Can you remember every gospel invitation ever given? Can you imagine being in hell, remembering standing in the pew, freezing, not moving, refusing to walk down an aisle, making every excuse in the world? Haunting throughout all of eternity. But he also remembered his lost 5 brothers. And he says, "Send Lazarus back, Father Abraham, that he may testify of this place, lest they come here to be in torments." And the answer was plain. And the answer was simple. They have Moses, they have the prophets, they have the word of God that Moses gave, and they have the preachers. Let them hear them. He says, "Oh no, if one come back from the dead, they will believe." Folks, one already has come back from the dead. His name is Jesus. And yet the world still does not believe. But he thought about his brothers. How many here tonight? How many here tonight? You know someone that needs to be saved? How many? Just raise your hand. If you don't have your hand on it, you live in a cocoon. Thank you. Don't you wish they would get saved? Don't you wish? Maybe it's hard for you to talk to them, but don't you wish somebody else could to get through to them if you can't? You see, around the world tonight, that's exactly what he wants to do to India. There's somebody's friend that needs to get saved. There's somebody's mother that needs to get saved. There's somebody's daughter, somebody's son, cousin, aunt, uncle, neighbor that needs to get saved tonight. Why? Because it is the home of the damned. Now tonight, I preached just about 30 minutes. We come back. We leave this place of the lost. We come back to Earth, to Michigan, to Jackson, and back to our place here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. But reality is tonight, hell is not 30 minutes. It's forever. Don't you see why tonight we must be about our Father's business? Take your card. Sunday night I preached on the alabaster box of that woman that walked to Jesus with that alabaster box of very precious ointment. Monday night I talked about God's principles of giving and God's plan. Last night we looked at Nehemiah and Gehazi, and we saw how Gehazi only cared for the temporal but not the eternal. And now tonight, you hold in your hand a card. Before I give the invitation for the missions aspect of our service, I want to say this. If there is any doubt in your heart tonight about where you will spend eternity, would you get it settled? You say, but everybody thinks I'm saved. I don't care what people think. You ought to care what God thinks tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. Why don't you come make it sure? Either really get saved or get the assurance of salvation, but get it nailed down tonight. Lest this place called hell become your home for all of time and all of eternity. Christian, would you stand with me, please?